Merry Christmas, sort of. Because we don't celebrate Christmas for a while, even though the rest of the world is. If you could reach into your pocket or your purse and silence anything not human that's liable to make noise during service, that would be wonderful, because we would like joyful noise. And my cell phone's usually not very joyful when I'm trying to be prayerful. If you could center yourself for worship as we listen to Donna's prelude. Thank you. Again, welcome. Next week is going to be busy. Just plan on bringing a cot and a pillow, because you're going to be here all day. At 8:15, they will have chapel. That will be followed by our congregational meeting, so we would love it if you were here for that. We need you. That's going to be followed by our regular Sunday service, which is going to be followed by coffee and fellowship. That will then be followed at 4 o'clock by a Christmas recital. And the day before that, the reason that you really kind of need that cot is that the day before that on Saturday is the adoption shower for Levi Ostrander. Now, Levi likes things that that light up and make noise, because he's five and they're like that. But we would love to have you come and welcome this very precious child into our family. The 16th is going to be a service with choir and handbells and all that wonderful stuff for the Christmas season as well. Do we have other announcements? Hearing none. Stand, greet those around you, pass God's peace, and then when we come back together again, we will do so with hymn number 122 in the Chalice Handbook. join me in the call to worship? We come from a world of darkness.
Into Christ's light.
From confusion, uncertainty, and fear, God invites us to dwell in hopeful peace.
From the hearts of places, Christ calls us to breathe deeply in holy sighs.
Let us make room in our lives every day for the Prince of Peace to come.
Come, Lord Jesus, come.
Join me in prayer. Holy Comforter, as children, we sing, I've got peace like a river. I've got joy like a fountain. I've got love like an ocean. It seems our childhood campfires were really Advent wreaths. The teacher in me gets away from me once in a while, and I have to investigate the metaphor, though. Peace like a river makes sense if we only think of the certainty of the Platte on a lazy afternoon. But that river has rapids and whirlpools and undertows and the occasional waterfall. Lord, where is the peace of the river? But I guess the metaphor does work. We do have calm, lazy days when we feel wrapped in the calm peace of your love. We also have times when we are banged on rocks, confused as to where we're going, pulled under by grief or worry. Lord, there are times when the ground is yanked from under us and we are headed for uncertainty. Lord, come and fill us with your peace amid the rivers, no matter how the water is flowing. Come to this place and teach us your peace as you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
You may be seated. This morning, our Advent candle will be lit by Kristen and Dwight and their children. And you'll notice that after the lighting of the candle, we'll sing together number 128, the first two verses.
We light the Advent wreath, the first candle for hope, and the second candle for peace.
We seek God's comforting presence and prepare our hearts to be transformed by the Holy One who is both mighty and tender.
Isaiah announced God's coming to a people exiled in a broken and parched wilderness. He declared that God's redemption would make a highway in the desert and change the rough places into a plain. God would come as a shepherd, feeding, leading, and cradling the weary flock. This Advent, we seek such a God of peace whose strength is far greater than our own.
Let us pray. Saving God, look upon your world and heal your land and your people. Prepare us to be changed. This Advent, teach us to be tender and just as you are, that your abiding peace may dwell within our lives every day. Amen.
I invite the children to come forward for a time of sharing. Good morning. We're so glad to have all of you here today. In the bulletin this morning, there is an invitation. Do you know what an invitation is? Yeah, if you have a birthday party, you might send someone an invitation to invite them to come to your party. Well, this is an invitation to celebrate Christmas here at First Christian Church. Next Sunday, our children are going to sing during worship. You have been practicing. Come and ring those bells. You have two special songs you're going to lead the congregation in singing next week. So it may be that you have a friend you would like to have come and hear you sing next Sunday. And if you do, you can give them this invitation and invite them to come to church. Christ invites us to come to him, and Christmas is all about celebrating Jesus' birthday. I'm curious how you celebrate Jesus' birthday. Does anybody have something special you do at Christmas time? Is there anything you do? What do you do?
I get up early and sort the presents.
You get up early and look at presents on Christmas Day. What do you do?
We have this tradition where we look for a pickle ornament on the tree.
You have a pickle ornament on your tree. I think that tradition originally comes from Germany. Charles and I have a pickle on our tree sometimes, too.
Mine too.
Your two? You have a pickle on your tree? Yeah. What about you, Willow? What Christmas tradition do you have?
I like to just decorate the tree.
You like to decorate the tree, hang all kinds of ornaments on it. Do you put lights on your tree?
Yes.
Yes. Do you all have trees at your house? Raise your hand if you already have a tree up. Anybody want to come and put a tree up at my house? We haven't put our tree up yet. We've been kind of busy. So trees celebrate Christmas. Special ornaments celebrate Christmas. Presents celebrate Christmas. Sometimes we have special meals. Your mom or dad might fix a special dinner. You might have company over. Is there anything you do for Christmas? You make gingerbread houses. That's a very special tradition. And this year you're going to Tennessee. Is that to see Daddy for Christmas?
Yeah, we're visiting him.
Yay, that's exciting. He will be so excited to see all of you there. All of the things that we do at Christmas are a way to share the joy and the peace of having Christ in our lives. Thank you all this morning for sharing with us stories about how you celebrate Christmas. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, what does it mean like when I used all the cucumber? Do they actually go on the tree?
So the pickle on the tree is a special ornament. It's not actually like a real cucumber or a real pickle. It's usually made out of glass. And whoever hangs it hides it, like kind of behind a branch. And because it's green, it blends in, so it's hard to find. And then other people in the family look and look and look on the tree until they find the pickle ornament, and it's supposed to give you good luck. That's my understanding of the tradition, right? Is that how you guys do it? It's fun to learn new customs and new traditions. She had never heard of a pickle on your tree. She thought maybe you had a tree that actually grew cucumbers. That would be amazing. Nope, just a Christmas tree and an ornament. Yes, sir.
My papa died because he fell and he hurt his head.
Your papa died because he fell and he hit his head. I am so sorry. And we will think of your papa at Christmas, and when we think of everyone that we love at Christmas, because a lot of us have people who have been with us at Christmas before, and this year they won't be with us. Mm-hmm. So a special way to celebrate Christmas is to hold those people in your heart. At Children's Church this morning and Worship and Wonder, you can talk some more about Christmas traditions, and you can share more stories with each other. Yes, Willa. Your great-great-grandma died. So did mine. It's very sad. We miss them. But they are still with us in our hearts. And because we believe in Jesus, we will get to see them again in heaven. Will you all say a prayer with me this morning? And we're going to pray not just about Christmas. We're going to pray about the people you've named that we miss. And we're also going to pray for Hadley because she broke her foot. So will you pray with me? Dear God, we thank you for each of the children who are part of our church family. And Lord, we praise you for the glorious Christmas traditions that we have in our families and in our church that help us to celebrate this beautiful season. Oh God, we ask that your peace will dwell in our hearts, especially for those who are missing loved ones this year. And God, we ask a special prayer of healing for Hadley and her foot. All this we lift in Jesus' name, and all God's children said, amen. Thank you all for being here this morning. You can go to Worship and Wonder and Sunday School. I know, she just has a little cast on it. It almost looks like a candy cane shoe. As our children go to Worship and Wonder this morning, I'd like to draw your attention to the prayer concerns on the back of our bulletin. There were several that were lifted at chapel this morning that I will share with you. Cal Decker reports a great joy. He saw his doctor this week, and his cancer numbers are looking really good. The medication seems to be working, and we continue to rejoice and pray for health for him. Wanda Gokenauer shared that she has two little granddaughters who've been born in recent months, and it is a delight and a blessing to be celebrating Christmas with Lyric and Praise Lynn. Mina Padgett celebrated her 90th birthday on Friday. We rejoice in all of these joys that have been shared, and we continue to offer prayer for others. Amber French had a safe trip to and from Mayo Clinic. The doctors have determined that she's having issues with migraine headaches. That's a contributing factor to everything she's been struggling with. Please pray that the doctors from Mayo and her doctors here can work together to balance all the medication that she needs, and God will bring her healing. Arlen Miller asks for prayers for his grandfather, who's being taken off life support today, and prayers of comfort for the family. Dorothy Smith learned this week that her sister Elsie has passed away, And this is the second loss of a sibling for Dorothy this year. Her brother Henry passed away earlier. Lonnie's cousin Dode has passed away as well, so we offer prayers of sympathy and support for their families. Rita Peterson reports that her daughter Frankie saw the doctor and is taking medication again to reduce the swelling in her abdomen. Prayers for Frankie and for Rita. Our card shower this morning is for Pam Steinle. I encourage you to reach into the pew rack in front of you, take out a prayer card and write a note to Pam or someone that God places on your heart, and then put that card in the offering tray later in the service. Pam suffered a severe attack of a blood infection. She was hospitalized at Wyoming Medical Center in ICU for a few days. She has now been discharged from the hospital, and she is at Elkhorn doing therapy as she regains her strength and continues on IV antibiotics. Charles and I would like prayers for our great nephew, Thomas Cook. Thomas is just over a year old. He was in ICU this week in El Paso, Texas, at Children's Hospital. He's been diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. He is doing well with the treatment. They've given him an insulin pump. He's so small that the insulin has to be diluted. He is expected to go home from the hospital tomorrow, and we're thankful for the care he's getting. The missionary we're lifting today in prayer is Bruce Van Verhees, who has visited with our congregation here. He continues his service in Hong Kong. Our regional prayer partners are the members of Valley Christian Church in Twin Falls, Idaho, and you're encouraged to sign the sheet at the back of the sanctuary and send a greeting to them. In other news from our region, there is an ordination happening today at First Christian Church in Sterling, Colorado, and we rejoice in the beginning of ministry there. Are there others today that we want to lift in prayer, concerns or joys that we want to share? Debbie. Prayers for two friends from Sovereign Grace who help with the sandwich ministry who are having health concerns this week. Paul.
First of all, prayers of great praise to God for my sister-in-law's surgery last Monday. It was a complete success. And additional prayers needed for the healing of my sister Lori, who had cancer last year, and she's still struggling with that.
We continue to pray with Paul for his sister Lori as she struggles with cancer, and we give thanks to God for answering prayer that his sister-in-law's surgery went so well. Prayers for Ardell and Lynn, who are hospitalized and dealing with complications from surgery and cancer. Tom.
Yeah, I just got back from California. Around 10 of us, PBA boarders. Duke, Pete Weber, Brian Voss, Hugh Miller, and me. Did a donation for the fire victim up in Northern California. We raised over $100,000.
Thank you for sharing that with us, Tom. In case you couldn't hear, Tom May has just returned from California from a PBA event. There were 10 pro bowlers who did a fundraiser for fire victims in Northern California, and they raised over $100,000. He says his arm is tired from signing bowling pins. We thank you for your work and for everyone who contributed to that cause. Let us turn now to the Lord in a time of prayer as we share together in sacred silence. Holy Lord Jesus, Prince of Peace, in the silence of this sanctuary, we come before you to still our lives. In the world around us, this is a busy season. In our lives, in our homes, in our work, at our schools, there is much to be done. And yet the most important work of this Advent season, O Christ, is to dwell with you, to prepare space in our own hearts for your coming again. And so we give thanks for the privilege of sacred space in time, as well as in the physical realm, so that we may come here and pause before you. Holy One, bless us with your peace, your deep abiding peace that lifts us up in moments of joy, when good news is received like Kel has had, when Wanda and others celebrate the birth of little ones, when friends like Mina mark the passage of many years of life. O Lord, in the midst of joy, your peace fills our hearts. Perhaps even more importantly, O Christ, we turn to you for peace in times of need. We ask your blessing to be upon those who mourn. Be with Dorothy as she misses her sister Elsie and her brother Hank. Be with Lonnie, who misses her cousin Dode, and others who have known losses, recent or far away, that still touch their hearts this Christmas. Lord, we rejoice with Paul that his sister-in-law's surgery went well, and we continue to pray for his sister Lori. We pray for Ardell and Lynn during their hospitalization. And we ask you to be with two friends from Sovereign Grace who are facing health struggles. Lord, be with little Thomas and his parents, Josh and Janelle, as they learn to live with his diabetes. Thank you for the treatment of pediatric doctors who give care to little ones. Lord, we join with Arlen in praying for his grandfather, that indeed your peace may settle upon their family and surround them in this time of life's transition. God, we ask you to be with Amber and Frankie and others who continue with health struggles and turn to you for healing. Oh God, we thank you for the gift of peace that comes from using our gifts to serve you. We thank you for the Bowlers who raised money to benefit victims of wildfires in California. We thank you for Bruce Van Verhees and the work he continues to do in Hong Kong, for the members of Valley Christian Church in Twin Falls, and for all those who will gather at First Christian in Sterling, Colorado today to celebrate an ordination. Holy and gracious One, in seasons of suffering and sickness, in seasons of health when we are happy, your peace abides with us if we will simply turn to you. During this Advent season, O Christ, may we indeed turn to you. May we turn away from sin and return to the right path of life with Christ. Through your gift of repentance, O Lord, our sins are forgiven and we find new life with you at the manger and at the cross. Through this gift of new life, may we share your peace with all the world. In the name of Jesus, the Prince of Peace, the King of Calvary, the Babe of Bethlehem, we pray. and we live. Amen.
December is a time of circles. The bulbs on your tree, lots of them are circular, although I don't think any of them on this one are. Cookies, strings of lights, the Advent wreath, and the loaves of cottage bread on the communion table. We celebrate a circular faith. The birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Christ. It's a circle that includes all believers, all saints, living and past. Come, share the bread, the cup, the life of Christ within us. Join us in singing Away in a Manger.
Today's communion hymn was written by Shelley Garrison, who is our Associate Regional Minister for Youth Ministry. From manger to hillside to heavenly home, she says. It reminds us of how this table is a place of intersections at the heart of all those holy circles that make up the Christian life. At the manger and at the cross, God's love was made real. At the table, Jesus takes on flesh again when we break the bread and drink the cup. We remember that night when he met with his friends in the upper room. And while they were there, Jesus did indeed take a loaf and break it and give it to his friends, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you to forgive your sin and the sins of many. Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection. We remember his presence at the manger in Bethlehem, his sacrifice at the cross, and his invitation to us to join him in heaven for all eternity. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray.
Father, we come to the table in prayer and praise. When Zechariah, father of John the Baptist, spoke of the Savior to come, saying, "His people will be saved by having their sins forgiven." During Advent, we come to the table to take of the bread and the wine and joyfully celebrate the birth of Jesus. Father, we must also praise and adore him for the ultimate gift he gave us, eternal life in the kingdom of heaven. Everlasting praise and love to Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
If you've been in this congregation for a long while, you remember the Advent Sunday when the boiler gave out. Jokes were made about getting in touch with our inner Mary and Joseph in the barn. The boiler was replaced, and so were the windows, praise God. Without our offerings to God, our sanctuary will again be a cold place. Without the gifts of time and talent and cash, our faith is empty. Please be a joyful giver as the deacons wait on us. And I guess I should have spoken longer. Holy Father, we thank you so deeply for all of the gifts that you shower on us with such regularity that we sometimes forget to notice them. Thank you for this family, and help us each to be instruments of your love, of your caring for the world. Remind us that we are the heart and hands of Christ in this place. And thank you for the gifts that will allow us to spread your love. Amen.
Our first reading this morning is taken from the book of Malachi. That's the last book of the Old Testament. And it reads, "And I said, listen, you heads of Jacob and rulers of the house of Israel, should you not know justice? You who hate the good and love the evil, who tear the skin off my people and the flesh off their bones, who eat the flesh of my people, flay their skin off them, break their bones in pieces, and chop them up like meat in a kettle, like the flesh in a cauldron. Then they will cry to the Lord, but he will not answer them. He will hide his face from them at that time, because they have acted wickedly." Thus ends the reading.
I invite you to hear Malachi from the New Revised Standard Version. I'm not sure the text Peg read this morning, but Malachi 3, 1 through 6 is, "See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Indeed, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old and as in former years." Our next readings come to us from the Gospel according to Luke. For the first, I invite you to turn in the Chalice Hymnal to page 137. We will read responsively the Song of Zechariah, which is found in Luke chapter 1, verses 68 to 79. And there is a sung refrain. So number 137 in the hymnal. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who has come to set the chosen people free. Through the holy prophets, God promised of old to save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us. This was the oath God swore to our ancestor Abraham. And you, child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare the way. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us. We continue to hear the gospel from Luke in the third chapter, verses 1 through 6. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea and Herod was ruler of Galilee, his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Itrea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias was ruler of Abilene. During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet of Isaiah, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be made low. The crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you, choir, and Amber, and Ethan, for that wonderful rendering of Away in a Manger and Amazing Grace. It speaks to us of how God's amazing grace was born in that manger long ago. Thank you for your gift of music. Would you pray with me? O Lord, on this second Sunday of Advent, we come before you filled with the hope of Christ's return. We come before you longing for the Prince of Peace to rule in our world as well as in our hearts and lives. Bless this morning, Holy One, the meditations of all who are present here, the words of my mouth, the thoughts of all of our hearts, and the actions of our lives, that they may be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We have an interesting collection of readings this morning. The first that we heard from the last book of the Old Testament, from Malachi, speaks of a messenger who has come to prepare the way before the Lord. That Old Testament prophet was referring to John the Baptist, who would come as a messenger before Christ. It's a striking text because it speaks of how he, meaning God, Jesus as God's son, is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. I'm still not sure, Peg, if you were reading a different passage or just a different translation of this text. It was interesting because part of what she said talked about bones boiling. It was kind of almost gruesome, and yet it's connected to this passage because in the old days, one of the ways of cleaning clothes was by making lye soap. And you would boil down bones to get the marrow out and use that with extremely hot water to bleach clothes white. It was kind of a gruesome process. So when Peg was kind of reading this gruesome text in the middle of Advent, I thought, well, as odd as it is, it fits. There is something strange about this second Sunday of Advent. It's a Sunday when we light a candle and we talk about peace. And we're tempted to think that that peace is just the beauty of a baby being born in a manger, a baby who never cries, a baby who never messes his diapers or his swaddling cloth, a baby who is perfect in every way. What could be more peaceful than a silent night? Young parents know what Mary and Joseph learned for themselves. There is no such thing as a baby who is silent every night. Perhaps the first night that Christ was born, he was indeed quiet and peaceful. But my guess is even the Son of God, because he was in human form, at some point wailed. He cried when he was hungry. He made noises. They might have been cute and endearing part of the time, but no doubt, sooner or later, Mary and Joseph were tired and stressed. If you have been a parent, you know what that's like. We're tempted during Advent to whitewash the Christmas story, to think it's all about angels who are beautiful, white, gleaming creatures who sing with heavenly voices, shining halos and wings. We kind of miss that somewhere in Scripture there is something about angels as messengers of the Lord that must be terrifying. For every time an angel shows up in Scripture, the first thing they say is, "Don't be afraid." We tend to think that Christmas peace is as lovely as snow falling gently on a winter's night or the picture on a front of a Christmas card. Whereas Christmas peace is more like a blizzard that strips the prairie clean and then gives you a place to find shelter. Malachi speaks of God being like a metalsmith, someone who works with gold or silver to refine precious metal by setting it on fire, someone who tends a flame that it gets so hot the metal melts, and the impurities, the dross, rise to the top and are skimmed off. God is like someone who sets a fire and then takes us as followers of Christ, and puts us right in the middle of that heat. We'd like to think that being a Christian and knowing peace is about life being easy. Whereas Malachi is telling us it's actually finding yourself in the midst of the greatest boiling turmoil you've ever known, and yet in the heart of that crisis, knowing that you are held, you are cared for. The refiner's fire must be carefully tended. The goldsmith, the silversmith, pays attention to every second the flame is burning and cares for that precious metal in the center of the heat. One time, a person studying this text interviewed a silversmith, wanting to learn about the actual process. And she asked the question, how do you know when the silver is ready? And the silversmith said, "It's easy when I see my reflection in it." God is like a silversmith who tends to all the fire and chaos of the world and pays attention to his beloved children placed in the midst of that heat and that chaos. He watches us and tends us until God's own reflection is seen in our lives. The dross of our sin is burned away, and we are purified. So Malachi tells us that a messenger will be sent to prepare the way for one who is coming like a refiner's fire or like fuller's soap. In other words, God is kind of like a laundress, someone who washes clothes until they are clean and ready to be worn again. I don't know about you, but our bedroom sometimes seems to have a magic refilling laundry basket. Does that ever happen to you? Charles and I are both pretty good about taking turns doing the laundry or doing it together, but every once in a while it gets ahead of us. At our house, we even have a system. We have more than one basket. We pre-sort it. So the darks go here, the lights there, the whites here, and when that basket is full, that load is ready to go. Sometimes the basket of lights has more of my clothes than his, and they need a little tender care. And so he says, "Honey, it's really your turn." And other times, the basket with the darks, it has his socks in it, and they have to be hung instead of just thrown in the dryer. And he likes them kind of straightened out and paired together when they're hung. That way, it's easier to put them away. So sometimes I'll do the darks, and then I'll say, "Honey, will you hang up your socks? I just can't do it right." God is like the one who takes the world's overflowing dirty laundry, sorts it out, and cleans it. God takes us in our messy, overflowing lives and prepares us for new life, to be worn again, to reflect the presence of God's love. There is something about the juxtaposition of this text from Malachi and the story of John the Baptist in Luke's gospel that is very fitting for this second Sunday of Advent, when we reflect on peace. In the first chapter of Luke, we hear of the story of the birth of Christ and the birth of his cousin, John the Baptist. Zechariah was a prophet who worked in the temple, a priest who faithfully served God. Zechariah and Elizabeth were getting on in years. In chapter 1, we hear the story of a young woman, Mary, who's visited by the angel Gabriel and told she will conceive. And we hear the story of her older relative, Elizabeth, who is so far along in years, she's not expecting to ever have to do the laundry of baby diapers ever in her life. And yet the time comes that God chooses Elizabeth to bear John the Baptist. And so Zechariah is in the temple doing his work, and he is told his wife will conceive. It is such shocking news that Zechariah can't quite fathom it. In fact, he denies to the angel that it's even possible. But with God, what the world says is impossible, with God, it is possible. And so Zechariah is struck mute for his wife's entire pregnancy. Never having been pregnant myself, I can't help but wonder if there aren't some wives in the world who would actually find it to be a gift of grace if their husband didn't get to talk for the entire 9 months they were carrying a child. They could complain as much as they wanted, and he could not say a thing. I'm not sure what happened between Elizabeth and Zechariah for those 9 months, but my guess is there were some interesting sign language exchanges. Finally, when the time comes for that baby who will be named John to be born, Zechariah's voice is restored. And the first thing he says in Luke's account is this beautiful prophetic song, where the father, Zechariah, is filled with the Holy Spirit and describes what the son, John's life, will be like. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel," he says, "for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us." He goes on in verse 76, saying, "And you, child," speaking to his newborn son, John, "you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. You will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace." Zechariah predicts his own son's future, that John, whom we know as John the Baptist, John the Baptizer, will be the one who prepares the way for Christ and teaches the followers of Jesus to walk in the way of peace. Again, perhaps I can't help but ponder that we may have this misconception of what peace truly means. We may think it is all about a quiet moment of Om, chanting a holy note, being silent. For a young parent, a young mom or a dad surrounded by screaming kids, peace may seem like that brief, fleeting moment of silence when the kids finally fall asleep on Christmas Eve. And there is a lull, there is peace. But truly, God's peace comes both in that silent moment, but also in the midst of chaos, when dad or mom sit back and look with wonder on their children, so full of life and joy, so exuberantly shouting with the excitement of the season. There is an inner peace that comes when you know God is watching over those you love. The story of John the Baptist picks up in chapter 3 of Luke when he is mature as an adult. He is out in the region around the Jordan in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The message of John. The message that shows us the way of peace to follow Christ is as striking as that refiner's fire described in Malachi. Prepare the way of the Lord, he says, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled. Every mountain and hill shall be made low. The crooked shall be made straight. The rough ways made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. John's message was one calling people to repent, literally to turn around, to look at their lives and realize they were headed in the wrong direction and they needed to turn and follow God, follow Christ who would come after him, this voice shouting in the wilderness. It's interesting that the word of the Lord comes not to a wealthy palace, but to a man wearing a camel hair coat on the banks of the Jordan, someone wandering in the desert wilderness, ranting about the sin of people and their need to return. Of all places God could choose to send the word, that's where it is. That in itself indicates to us the type of peace we mark on the second Sunday of Advent. God comes to those who wait for him and to those who know him in the midst of a chaotic world. In a Roman Empire where people were oppressed, the voice of the Lord came. And in Casper, Wyoming in 2018, when people live lives that feel busy and stressed, the peace of God still comes. One time there was an art contest held. Painters from across the country were invited to submit their visual interpretations on the theme of peace. How would you try to paint peace? Perhaps there's a symbol you would choose, a dove with an olive branch. Perhaps there's a scene that would come to mind for you, a scene as serene as the Mary mother holding baby Jesus on a silent night. Well, different paintings were submitted of lovely fields of flowers on a calm day, an ocean with a ship sailing on water as smooth as glass. They were all lovely paintings that seemed very peaceful. But the piece of art that won the contest was quite striking, for it was different. It depicted a raging storm, dark clouds, blowing wind, slashing rain, and in the midst of this huge cataclysmic storm was an old oak tree with its boughs shaking and swaying. The judges said the rendering was so realistic you could almost hear the wind and feel the rain. There on the branches of that tree, in the midst of that storm, was a mother hen, a simple bird, a dove perhaps, a crow. There was a mama bird with chicks nestled under her wings. The painting that won the contest to depict peace showed the calm in the midst of the storm. In the midst of the Christmas season, if your life feels busy and hurried and harried, look for that calm center, that place where you can dwell with Christ in the midst of turmoil in the world around us. When natural disasters tear apart the lives of communities, when wars still do not cease, when violence rages in the city streets, the peace of Christ can still be found in the human heart, in the person who comes to Jesus to be sheltered under his wings, as if our Lord and Savior is a mother hen himself. We are held in the refiner's fire. In the midst of heat and chaos, we are precious to God, who focuses on us and holds us near. In the midst of the world's greatest storms, peace comes to those who follow Christ. This week, as your life unfolds in the second week of Advent, may you take time to dwell with the Prince of Peace and to let your life's path be made straight, the rough places made smooth, the valleys filled, the mountains brought low. May you follow in the steps of John the Baptist and become one who proclaims the coming of the Lord, Jesus Christ, whose birth we celebrate, whose peace we long to know, whose love we are called to proclaim to the world. In Christ's name, this is good news. This is the gospel. Amen. Our hymn of dedication today is the first and last verses of number 150, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. If there's anyone here this morning who's moved to give your heart to Christ, whether for the first time or needing to rededicate your walk to the Lord, you're invited to come forward and do so. We welcome new members here at First Christian Church by confession of faith and baptism or by transfer of membership from another Christian church. We'd love to have you join us in this Advent journey as we follow the Prince of Peace. I invite you to stand and sing together, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. There's a time of refreshment and fellowship waiting for us. Downstairs in Fellowship Hall, there's coffee and snacks to share, and I hope that you will stay and visit with one another. Perhaps share with someone a story of how you need peace in your life, that we can pray for each other this week. I remind you that next Sunday morning will indeed be a busy time here between services. We'll have a tasting party. You're invited to bring your favorite treat of the season and the congregational meeting. And then Sunday afternoon is the Christmas recital. If you or your children have not yet signed up to perform, please sign up today. This is the last chance to sign up to participate in the Christmas recital. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. O Lord Jesus, our Prince of Peace, you come and calm the storms of our lives and forgive our sin. May we be so filled with your peace, Holy One, that as we go forth, others see it in our lives and ask to know you. Bless us now with love, with hope, with peace, that we may serve you always. In your precious name, O Jesus. Amen.